we are the super nerdy Sailor Guardians who fight for love and justice. And this is Across the Mooniverse.
Holy moly, back at it again.
Here we are. Hello, everybody.
Another moon day, another episode, another couple hours spent talking to my best friend.
Yes, indeed. Happy moon day, everyone.
Happy moon day. So, and welcome to Across the Mooniverse.
Yes.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Mike.
And here we talk about Sailor Moon.
We're going to talk about Sailor Moon. We're going to talk about season 1, episode 18, Shingo's
yes.
Love, The Grieving Doll.
Which I'm very excited about because this is, for all intents and purposes, new territory for us because this is the first episode that we did not record way back in the day. This is like
correct.
Entirely new. So it's very exciting.
We had recorded 14, 15, 16, and 17, mm-hmm. but they never got edited. So they're in the archives. So this is finally new territory. And we do have some interesting developments in this episode.
Indeed.
Yes. So I was just going to say, I was noticing at the very opening, right? The Sailor Moon opening. It starts out with a skyline, and it's kind of got black clouds swirling. Do you know what I'm talking about? In the very beginning?
In the very beginning of the intro?
Yeah, the intro was here. Yeah. So it's got black clouds swirling, and it's a skyline. And there's a building, and on top of that building, it's got the letters CH and the number 10. And I wondered if Sailor Moon had been broadcast originally on Channel 10. That's the reason that it says it looks like Channel 10, CH10.
You know, it is entirely possible.
Yeah. Otherwise, why would they have Channel 10 there?
For shits and giggles.
It could be some sort of inside joke with the animators. I don't know. Anyway, that's just something I noticed this time with the opening. Along with the...
I see it now. Sorry, I just pulled it up. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Doesn't it look like Channel 10?
Yeah. I don't know.
So I wonder if it was broadcast on Channel 10.
It could also be... It looks like a really stylized letters as well. Oh, gosh, my... I'm so out of practice with my kana. Hold on. I have an app for this. I need to know what it says now. You always make me discover new things about this show that I love. I love it. I love it so much. I want to know more about my favorite show that you'd think I'd know everything about.
That's just how my mind works. So while you're looking that up, let's talk about in the bumper teaser. By bumper teaser, I mean before the episode starts, it plays visuals from usually the fight that it shows, and in this case, it is the fight. You see a doll flying at Sailor Moon, and she says something about the doll has the heart of the maker in it.
Yeah.
And she also says something. She says that even Girls' Day dolls are angry. And so I had to know what that was because there is no context for that statement. Throughout this episode, we never find out what Girls' Day is. So I went ahead and looked it up. Did you already know what it was?
I kind of knew what it was. Like, I knew of it, but I didn't quite know the name. But then when I was also looking it up, because, you know, I gotta prepare in case you have questions. But no, now you gotta do your own research. Whatever.
Well, you go ahead.
What
you
do I take ahead. Notes I mean, for?
Girls' Day or Doll's Day is March 3rd. And you give the Japanese name for it. Hinamatsuri? Did I say it correctly?
Hinamatsuri.
It's one of five holidays, right? The first one is January 1st. The first one is the first day of the first month. And then the next one is the third day of the third month, which is this one, March 3rd. Mm-hmm. And then the next one would be May 5th, the fifth day of the fifth month. And then July 7th, and so forth. But in this case, this is Doll's Day. What I found out from Wikipedia was that there's a little display that they have on red carpet, and you have dressed up, you have the emperor, the empress, the attendants, and the musicians in traditional court dress. And it said that it's also called the Peach Festival, but that predates when they changed to the Greco-Roman calendar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because the peach trees were in bloom on the third, around the third day of the third month, but that was only true when they were using the previous calendar.
Yeah.
But it's still called the Peach Festival, and peaches are still play prominently in the celebration.
I mean, that's what it makes sense. Do you have anything more? We do that with holidays. Hinamatsuri is, or Girls' Day, is a celebration of the health and happiness of female children and of femininity in general. The Hina dolls, which is what you were referring to with the different dolls that they place on a different tiered system. It's like a table that has multiple shelves, and you put them in tiers, and you have to set them up a certain way to sort of like honor. I didn't get the specifics on why you have to set them up that way, but I know it's a big deal. But the Hina doll sets, for a 5-tier set, it can go anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500 per set.
Wow.
But typically they're passed down through the generations. And a lot of the time grandparents will gift it to baby girls when they're born.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They start to put this display up in about late February. Mid-February, they start setting this up. And then they take it down the moment that Hinamatsuri is over. Specifically because, a lot of people say it's to avoid the humidity of the rainy season in March, so it doesn't damage the dolls. But older superstitions say that the daughters of the families that keep these altars up will have trouble marrying if it's left up past the holiday.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
So it goes. I found it really cool.
I'm going to link the website in the show notes for this episode. I'm going to link the website that I found my information on.
Okay.
I really enjoyed all of it. And it's so cool because like a lot of Japanese horror games that I absolutely adore will have these puzzles where the point of the puzzle is to reorganize. It's like a slide puzzle but with the dolls, and so you have to organize the dolls so that they're all in the right order and all that stuff.
The right hierarchy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really cool. I was like, oh, I have more context to those puzzles now. Yay! It was really neat to learn.
Even you're learning stuff. You, and the intern, we're all learning.
Gotta love that intern.
So she does her little, there's a little bumper teaser of her, and we see they look like, I mean, the best way to describe the dolls, they look like French porcelain dolls to me is kind of what they look like.
Yeah.
In the teaser. Victorian era, like Victorian era dolls. They're all dressed up in like
very poopy, very floofy.
Very, very ornate.
Yes.
Yeah, very poopy. All right. So finally, the episode opens properly with the Dark Kingdom. Finally,
yeah.
Nephrite is in
Beryl's back, baby.
In front of Beryl. Yeah, Beryl's back. And and Beryl asks Nephrite if he's made any progress eliminating the Sailor Guardians. And Nephrite says, everything's under control, I assure you. Which is a total lie. I mean,
definitely.
He's got zero energy. And he's made no progress eliminating the Sailor Guardians whatsoever.
Which I'd like to know when eliminating the Sailor Guardians became part of his mission. Because if you remember, when he showed up, she was just like, get me energy. And now he's got to eliminate them too. Is that always part of the deal?
No, originally it was that we talked about this.
Yeah.
Originally, that was what Jedi got sent to Eternal Sleep. Because he didn't eliminate the Sailor Guardians. He was tasked with eliminating the Sailor Guardians. Because she admitted that Jada had actually gathered energy for the Dark Kingdom. And so, I don't know when his job description got expanded. Because we had speculated that perhaps Zoisite was supposed to eliminate the Sailor Guardians. And or maybe Zoisite. Also, there's no mention of the Silver Crystal. You know what I mean? But
we do know that Zoisite is looking for that.
We do know, Zoisite is looking for the Silver Crystal. But now, she asks how it's going with eliminating the Sailor Guardians. He lies to her. And then all of a sudden, in a swirl of white orbs, Zoisite appears. With his little tee-hee-hee.
Are those orbs or are those flower petals? I always thought they were flower petals.
Maybe they're flower petals.
I'm pretty sure
they're
flower petals, yeah.
All right. Really? You seem to be having quite a struggle with them. I'd be happy to help. All of a sudden he's Mr. Helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And Queen Beryl he says, after all, the two of us can carry out a plan better than one. Don't you agree? Don't you agree, my queen? So he throws it to Beryl, and Beryl's like, that's a good idea, Nephrite. You will work with Zoisite. And Nephrite's like, never.
Nephrite goes, he said, the hell I will.
Never. And then Zoisite's like, oh my, you're actually going to define Queen Beryl like that? And Nephrite, I'm not doing this for Queen Beryl. I'm doing it for myself. Now excuse me. And he leaves. Ooh. So he leaves. And then this is the big moment. Beryl's like, damn you, Nephrite. Beryl,
she's pissed.
We've never seen Beryl swear before.
No.
Yeah, she's not happy.
Usually she keeps her cool. Even when she was sentencing Jadeite to eternal sleep, she was pretty chill.
Yeah. But in this case, Beryl's hot. And then Zoisite's talking to himself, saying that everything's going as planned. Beryl will distance herself.
What do we think that means?
We'll find out. But I mean, obviously, obviously, we knew from the get go that Zoisite was trying to undermine Nephrite. That's clear. And so, just as he planned, Beryl's gonna. And you know, the thing of it is Nephrite did it to himself. I mean, Zoisite offered to team up, and Beryl basically gave him an order. Said Nephrite, you will work. She says Nephrite, you will work with Zoisite, and he says never, and storms out basically. And
exactly,
so I'm guessing that's the source of her damn you, is his insubordination.
Oh, definitely,
is that he
for
he,
sure
he's disobeying an order. And
what rank does he think he is? He's not at weird staff orb rank. He's at fried eggs on your shoulder rank.
Exactly. So that answers my ongoing question about him checking in with Beryl, is that he obviously was avoiding it, and he showed up and lied to her, and then Zoisite basically busted him and said, it seems to me that you've been struggling, You know, so yeah. I mean, Zoyside basically, you know, called him out on his lie, and then tried to offer a solution. I'm not saying Zoyside's a good guy. I don't think that at all. I'm just saying that.
Well, I mean, he does work for the Dark Kingdom,
right? I'm just saying that Nephrite should be smarter than this. You know what I mean? He should see right through this. He probably does it's too, true. And that's why he's pissed off. Is he knows what Zoyside's up to, and he doesn't want anything to do with it.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
Nephrite definitely has some sort of hidden agenda that he's doing, and I'm curious.
There's a lot more
to Nephrite than meets the eye.
Yeah, there is. But it makes me wonder, you know, is his clock ticking? You know, is time running out for Nephrite now? I mean, we already had Jadeite come and go. Is Nephrite gonna be Nephrite gonna be eternal sleep anytime soon? I mean, as far as I can see, Nephrite deserves eternal sleep more than Jadeite ever did. Jadeite just failed. Jadeite was he checked in with her on the reg. He checked in with her before every episode, and he had pretty decent plans. He didn't have all the information. Nephrite has more information. He's had more time. He's watched what hasn't worked. You know, he got to watch Jadeite fail. So he got to gather more information. And he has failed to check in, and now he's disobeyed a direct order. And you know, it seems to me that his time in this position is probably gonna be running out if he doesn't eliminate the Sailor Guardians, which of course I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, otherwise the show would end.
That's so true. That's it. Make it a very short show, for sure.
Yeah.
But you know what happens? You know what happens next in the show that is equally as pleasing as seeing Beryl at the beginning of the episode?
Yes. I know what you're going to say.
Juice and toast.
Juice and toast.
Juice and toast.
This episode's back to form. This episode opens with the Dark Kingdom, and then it goes to Juice and Toast, the family breakfast. And
palate cleanser.
In this family breakfast, Usagi is up early. Her dad's like, "Oh, you're up early." And then Shingo, her little brother, is like, "Normal people do this every day." I love that.
Yeah. Shingo is... The way that Naoko writes Shingo is just so true to form with younger siblings.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I can say this, being a younger sibling and being an older sibling.
I can say, yeah, I would say, my brother and sister were younger than me, but I mean, they do a good job portraying the dynamic. They definitely do.
Yeah.
It's good. And then the dad says, "Oh, Shingo, I heard Miko won a prize in the French doll making contest." At which point, Usagi teases her little brother about having a girlfriend, but the way she does it is she starts interviewing him like she's a TV reporter.
Yeah.
That was funny. But she's definitely teasing him for having a girlfriend.
Oh, definitely. And I don't know that they're actually like together, Shingo and Mika, or if they're just like, it's like a kid crush, because you know she's in middle school, so he's in like elementary,
right?
So
well, it even says that at one point, it says elementary school when they when we cut to their school.
But
nevertheless, Usagi's calling Mika his girlfriend. That's all that matters. And then Shingo gets a little flustered, and then starts teasing her about being late. And he's like, "Oh, Usagi," I don't know what he says exactly, but it's like, "Oh, Usagi, you're going to be late again, just as usual." And Usagi's like, "No, I got up early today specifically so I wouldn't be late." And then she checks her watch, and she's like, "Oh my God, is that the time?"
So he's like, "Oh shit, I'm late."
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and then they cut to the school, her school, the middle school, and we just hear the teacher say, "Go stand in the hall."
Yep.
And then it's another quick cut. So she's walking down the street with Naru, and Naru says, "You never tire of being tardy." I think it's such a funny way of saying it.
Yeah, it's funny. Naru is just one of the best because she's just so, like, she is so kind to Usagi, but then she like calls it as she sees it, but in the nicest way possible.
Right. It's such a nice way of saying it. You never tire of being dirty. It's such a good way of putting it. Yeah. and then Usagi responds with like "shut up" or something to that. I don't know. I forget what she says exactly, but she uses kind of a funny voice too. Just like "leave it alone, let it be."
Yeah.
And then they're approached by two little girls. And they ask if she's Shingo's big sister. The little girls do, and she's like, yes. And the little girls are like, maybe can you tell us why Shingo's being so mean? And she's kind of like, huh? And then all of a sudden, I don't know if you noticed this, but the animation style changes, as we cut to what happened earlier this morning at the elementary school. Which is the way Sailor Moon is animated, I would say it's standard anime style, you know, with the big eyes and it's standard anime style. This animation looked to me more like manga with watercolor added to it. The colors were really desaturated, and it almost looks like black and white. There's more sketch lines. Like pencil lines in the drawings,
and it's very storybook.
Yeah, it's. I don't know if this is the first time they've done that. It probably isn't, but it was definitely noticeable in this because it's not really. It is kind of a flashback, but it's a story being told. Because if it was flashback, that means that a flashback happens for the participant. It's a memory. You know what I mean? Yeah. This isn't a memory. This is a story being told. Storybook is a good way to put it. They tell the tale of what has happened to make them say that Shingo's being mean.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that? You want to talk about what took place?
Yeah. So Mika, being Shingo's long-term friend, which I don't know, it's been a while since we recorded this episode, but she actually appeared once before in the Chanela episode with the perfumed Furbies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Mika comes up to Shingo and she says, "Hey, I have something for you. I want you to have the doll that won the French doll making contest because you're such a good friend and you're always there when I need you." And he is just like, he goes to take the doll and he is definitely feeling some kind of way positively, like, oh my gosh, this means so much. And then, you know, the other school kids be school kids and they start teasing Shingo and they're like, oh, so nice to get from your girlfriend. Oh, right. Shingo likes
lovebirds. When's the wedding going to be?
Yeah. And Shingo being an elementary school boy, gets really embarrassed, and his reaction is to say, "I don't want this," and just try and shove the doll back over to Mika. Unfortunately, they both lose grip on it, and it being a porcelain doll, it falls and shatters.
Correct.
And Mika is devastated.
Yeah, Mika does some crying in this episode for sure.
Yes.
She starts crying, big tears. And then it goes back to the normal animation style. So you basically summed up the little story that's told of what happens with the doll. A couple of things I was going to add is that Shingo, it starts with Shingo congratulating her on the win. So it begins with him. He's not mean at all. He's being really nice. And then when she hands him the doll, he says to himself, "Is it okay for me to have this?" Because he knows how important how important it is. You know what I mean? And then of course, once he's getting teased and he, you know, look at the lovebirds and when's the wedding going to be, he does what so many guys would do in that and acts like he's not whipped, you know, and you know, in doing so, the dog gets dropped and is shattered. And so it cuts back to normal animation. And the little girls ask Usagi to please tell Shingo to apologize to Mika. Because they say, he didn't even apologize when the doll broke. So he definitely owes her an apology. And Sailor Moon takes that opportunity to promote herself, saying that his smart and pretty sister, big sister, is going to set things straight. I like that. She describes herself.
You know, she's authentic. She's got to tell it like she sees it.
Yeah. All right. Then it cuts to Mika is carving a new doll, and she's sitting in the dark. Her bedroom is dark, and she's got one little light where she's working, and she's working on a new doll.
And it's her a mom very comes sad in. Doll.
Yeah, her mom comes in and notices, you know, oh, it's so dark in here, and she says it's easier to concentrate, but it's obviously the dark room is also it's to symbolize her dark mood, I think.
Of course.
You know, she's pretty blue. Yeah. And her mom says the new doll looks like it's on the verge of tears, which of course makes sense. And mom says, let's compare it to the doll that won the contest. And Mika then lies and says, I don't have it anymore. And she says,
I let somebody borrow it.
I let someone borrow it. And then her mom says, who? And she says, just someone. So she's pretty mad. She's pretty mad at Shingo that his status has now been reduced to just someone.
Yeah. You know?
So and then there's more tears, as I recall. There's some more tears. Yes.
Because after her mom leaves, she opens the top drawer of her desk where she's sitting, and the doll, broken doll, is in there, all in pieces, and she cries some more, and I just want to hug her.
I know. It's very sad. Because now she's lying to her mom about what happened. You know?
Yeah.
The sadness deepens.
Yeah.
Then we cut to Nephrite's mansion.
Yeah.
The stars are all knowing, the stars are all seeing. And
hey, here's a familiar
I know.
Star.
I know. So remember when I gave my little spiel about Lyra and Orpheus and all that?
Here
it is again. And he says, Orpheus and Lyra has begun to play a plaintive melody on his harp. He doesn't even say Lyra, he says harp. And he's selected my next target. Mika Kayama, and so it's a standard issue. Him consulting the stars. It's not the stars pointed to a magazine on the floor this time. He gets zapped right in the forehead. After he says he's selected my next target.
Yeah,
and so it's a real quick one. But at least it's in the correct order this time. You know what I mean?
Truth.
Next, it cuts to Shingo trying to write an apology letter.
Yeah, he's already on the track to apologizing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, good on him. Shingo's a good kid.
Yeah, he's not. He gets frustrated and he tears up his attempt at apologizing, saying that it's no use.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't know what to say. This is weird. I'm not used to being like this. This is my best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Usagi walks in and slams her fist down on the top of his head.
She does.
Hey, what was that for? He's like, hey, what was that for? And she says, what do you think it's for? It's for Mika. And then she basically, you know, she's like, hey, you need to go apologize to Mika. And I think it's pretty lame that she doesn't have anything better to motivate him than threatening to go and tell mom and dad.
I'll tattle on you if if you remember when I don't know when that was pretty strong leverage as a kid with two siblings that were 1 and 2 years older than me. And I have the advantage of being the youngest in that little set. So I had the advantage of gaining more sympathy from the parents because the older siblings picked on me. Yeah.
True story. True. I was a little disappointed in her. I thought she'd have some better skills, but I have to say that is a pretty effective one. And it certainly works. So that, you know, so I guess that's the proof is in the pudding. Because he immediately snapped because he was reluctant to go apologize until the threat to go and tell mom and dad came out.
Yeah.
And then she was like, you're gonna go do it now. You're gonna go apologize now. And he's like kinda like, oh shucks. And then it cuts to him walking down, it looks like it kind of an alleyway, and he's practicing his apology. As he walks up to Mika's house, and then we hear a car squeal out, and a red sports car pulls right up to the front of the house.
And who could that be in their red sports car that drives on the wrong side of the road?
Shingo says, "Wow, awesome car!" Which of course every little boy is going to have that response. I like that Shingo's like, oh, it looks like they have company. I'll have to come back later. So he uses that as an excuse to not have to go make the apology. I like that.
Yeah. I like that as well.
And then Nephrite rings the doorbell and he identifies himself as, I can't say
Masato
it.
Sanjoin.
Masato Sanjoin, which is, that's the alter ego he used before, right? As the tennis coach and stuff like that. Yeah. That's his alias. And so he's sitting in their living room talking to the mother, talking to the mom, and it's something like some French designer's name. I thought only Pierre so-and-so could make dolls in the authentic French tradition or whatever. And she's like, oh, you know how to flatter a girl. And he says, your daughter is very talented too. And he asks to see the winning doll. Obviously his plan was to enchant the winning doll, but they have to, you know, that doll. And then they just kind of lets it trail off and says, why don't you bring out the new doll that you're working on? And so Mika brings out the new doll. And then what happens?
Nephrite turns the doll evil.
Yeah. And once again, it's
wow,
different,
this is
it's,
amazing. Pew!
Yep, this is yet a different moment of when he enchants the doll. Different things happen. Remember, sometimes the crest glows red, sometimes it glows aquamarine.
Yeah.
In this case, he presses on the doll's forehead and it just glows white. And you can see that he's not speaking, but he's thinking an incantation. And he says, Monster Jumo, build Mika Kayama's energy to its peak and then take it all away. So he doesn't speak it, but he thinks the incantation. I looked up what Jumo means, and it was pretty, not a lot of information. It just said that in Japanese, Jumo means non-participant. Or non-permanent.
Interesting.
Not non-participant. Non-permanent.
Oh, interesting.
Or temporary. So that's a weird name for the monster. It didn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any. It doesn't have any link that I could find to doll making. Did you look it up?
I didn't, but I'm getting the intern on that now, just to see if we can find anything.
And then,
I'm curious now.
He's gushing over the new doll. Saying that its sadness is sublime and that it's lovely. And he orders 10 copies of the doll. And Mika's like, that's a lot. And he's like, I know I can sell 10 copies. So he's obviously posing as a businessman who wants to buy these dolls to resell.
Yeah.
And that's how he got made his way into their home and was then able
he
to
would.
Enchant the doll. And then, because then it cuts to Mika is making dolls in a manic state. Her eyes, her face changes when she picks up the doll after it's been enchanted. And
yeah.
She gets the same kind of crazy look as the woman did when she was making the wedding dress. She gets the same
Miss Higure.
Yeah.
Higure,
yep.
Yes.
And so Mika is working, and her mom comes into the bedroom and she's like, "Oh wow, you really made a lot of progress on that." And
yeah.
She's like, "But you know, it's time for bed." And Mika's like, "Don't bother me." And
yeah.
And then so the mom, obviously we find out later, the mom backed down and just gave up on her. So that
she shoves her mom over.
Yeah, she does.
Like,
yeah. Don't bother
me. Straight up pushes her to the ground.
Yeah.
And the doll goes from sad face to evil face.
That's right. Yes. And then it's the commercial break.
Mm-hmm. Santa Moon.
We come back from commercial with we're outside of their residence. And mm-hmm. Shingo's talking to the mother. I don't think the mother's name is ever mentioned.
I don't believe so either. At least not that I caught. But yeah. I think it's cute. I think it's really telling that Mika's mom confides in Shingo since he's like her BFF for forever. She's like, "Shingo, I need to talk to you about your best friend. I'm so worried."
Yeah, that she's been up all night making dolls. Yeah, she didn't even go to sleep. And Shingo asks if he can go see her, and they knock on Mika's bedroom door, and Mika's like, "Go away." And Shingo says, I really need to tell you or show you. I can't remember what he says. And
yeah.
she just says, "Go away." And it's left as that. And then it cuts to Shingo is back at home, and he's really down, he's really depressed. And he thinks to himself, "Did I hurt her so bad that she's never gonna forgive me?" And then all of a sudden, then Nice Usagi comes in with a cold beverage and serves it to her brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, what's this all about?
Being the best big sis. I loved it. She's just like, yeah. I sense you. Oh.
Yeah. I love that about her. She says that she could never let him be depressed without her trying to cheer him up. And I thought that was really sweet. And then she
listens to his whole story, just like without any teasing or anything, just total, like, tell me about what's going on, little bro. I want to help you.
She serves him the drink, and then he says that, you know, he tells her his woes, and mm-hmm. she says, "Well, didn't you apologize?" And then he explains what happened when he tried to go apologize and then what transpired. And then we know that he took the time, they don't actually show him telling the story of what happened. They show that time has transpired by the drink is now empty. And then Usagi has the idea that of bringing her a present, you know, then maybe she'll talk to him.
And all girls like presents.
Girls are big softies for presents.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's next? What do you have? What's next?
Next, Usagi is then talking to Luna in her room, and she points out to Luna that Mika is acting very strangely. And Luna says, "You're being very perceptive today."
Right.
And she says, "Well, when it comes to my dear little brother, I have to do my best."
Yep.
Like, she's on alert, which, you know, I get that. I get that, being an older sibling as well.
I just have a note here. That Usagi is loyal and puts energies into her relationships.
Yeah.
She is very loyal and very protective of the people who are close to her.
Oh, and, for sure.
And she is being perceptive. I think that she notices Mika's behavior more so because because Mika is important to Shingo. So
yeah,
you know, Usagi is more attuned to that. Because a lot of times Usagi does miss when something fishy is happening. But in this case,
for sure.
In this case, she's definitely on top of it.
Normally I'd be distracted by this, but this is my little brother, and now I'm on alert.
Yeah, exactly. But she says that, you know, she says, not only is it that, not only am I being perceptive because it's my little brother, but the a doll's curse sounds so interesting. She admits that she has, you know, there's a little bit more to it. Luna doesn't like that idea at all. Luna shakes and shivers at the thought of a doll's curse and then says, well, since this could be the work of the Dark Kingdom, we should keep an eye on them. And then Sailor Moon, and then Usagi says, well, if that's the case, then Ami and Rei should handle it.
Yeah, let them do it. I'm busy.
And I don't think she's serious. I think in the past she has been serious. When she said that she's scared to do something, she doesn't want. I think in this case she's joking. I don't think that she's being as serious about not wanting to do something about it.
I think she's taking it as an opportunity to kind of pull Luna's leg, just be like, ha-ha.
Yeah,
it's fine, Luna. Don't worry. Yeah.
And so then it cuts to it's Usagi, Luna, and Ami-chan. They're trying to get a look into Mika's bedroom. Luna has climbed up a tree, and she says that the blinds are drawn, and she can't see anything in there. And Usagi says, now at this point, a couple of days have gone by because Usagi says that she hasn't been to school for a few days.
Yeah,
and then Ami notices a flyer for a doll exposition. She says the only clue left is the doll exposition.
Yeah, and Mika's mom, which I learned is said at some point, but we both missed it, I guess. Her name is Yoshiko.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which, if in case you're wondering, means beautiful child.
Oh, wow. How nice.
There you go. That's my.
And then we missed mentioning this when Nephrite orders 10 of the dolls. And the mother mentions the doll exposition, saying there's an exposition this weekend. I hope you'll come. Mika will be there as well.
And Nephrite's like, of course I'll be there.
Of course I'll be there. Exactly. And then we have it's a poster of that's promoting the new Sailor V game, which at this point is no longer new, but the poster is up from when it was new, and Shingo's remembering a conversation with Mika where they're talking about Sailor V, but that Mika says that she thinks that Sailor Moon is so much cooler. And Shingo agrees with her. And so he's remembering that she likes Sailor Moon, and that gives him the idea for what he's going to get her for a present. He gets the idea that he's going to sculpt her a Sailor Moon doll.
Which I love.
Yeah.
It's an amazing idea.
Yeah.
Way to go, Shingo.
Exactly.
And Usagi, while he's, it cuts to him making his doll. And he's in elementary school. For a elementary school kid, pretty doggone good, I would say.
Yeah.
You know? He's not a professional sculptor. He's not a doll maker.
And he's sculpting. No. It looks like he's using clay. It looks like he's using plain clay. He's sculpting a figurine. And I have to admit, it does look like a pig.
Because Usagi comes in and she says, what are you doing? Oh my gosh, is that for Mika? Oh, she'll love that little piggy. And then Shingo's like, yeah, it's supposed to be Sailor Moon. And then Usagi starts laughing and says Usagi, in a kind
Usagi
of...
Usagi gets kind of kind of pissed off though too.
Yeah, she says it in a nice but like one of those I'm gonna kill you but I'm being nice sort of voices. Right. She's like, I'm sure she'd be thrilled.
Yeah, and she's like, well, she is the messenger of love and justice.
Yeah.
And then it cuts the next thing we see surprised me a little bit, which is Ray. She's dressed up nice. And she's kind of walking down the lane with Mamoru. So it looks like they're out on a date. We have this,
after butterflies.
They're dating in the park.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're on a second date apparently, or maybe there's been more that we don't know about. But nevertheless, there they are. And they walk in and it says the Juban Museum.
Yep.
And we cuts to inside of the museum, and Netbrite is congratulating what was the mom's name?
Yoshiko.
Is talking to Yoshiko and says, "Marvelous! This exhibition is a huge success." And he asks where Mika is, and Yoshiko says, "She's putting the finishing touches on the last doll."
Yeah,
and. And then we, go ahead. We cut to Mika in the back room.
Can I ask, why is her face slowly getting older? Like, why is that a side effect of being possessed by one of Nephrite's creatures? Is that your face slowly becomes like crazy old, like very 80s?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that happens with demonic possession.
Maybe. Didn't seem to happen that way in The Exorcist, but you know, that was different.
No, she definitely stays like 14 or 15.
Yeah. Well, her face does look a little older if you think about it.
You know that movie destroyed Linda Blair's back? That they had her on a wire rig from, you did or did not?
Yeah.
You did not?
I did, yes, but continue.
Oh, you knew that. Oh, yeah. But yeah, so they had her on a wire rig for some of that flailing around that she does. And she got a back injury from it that plagued her for the rest of her life. He also freaked in, the director. He had a shotgun on set and it had blanks, but it doesn't matter. It's loud. And he would just fire it off to get the actors scared to try and film a genuine terror response from them, you know, just like the stuff that's just like way over the top. Like you could never get away with that now. And I mean, that would be considered harassment, you know, to treat an employee that way. When you're a superior, you can't do that to an employee. You can't do that to somebody who you're in charge of. Yeah. Yeah. It was the stories of what took place during the filming The Exorcist are pretty amazing. You know?
Yeah.
What they cut out, what ended up on the editing room floor because it didn't pass the ratings board originally. It was going to get an X rating. Did you know that?
I'd believe it.
Yeah.
I'd believe it. Yeah. Cause that, I mean, that movie's intense.
I won't say it, but just imagine where the crucifix could go. And they literally filmed that. And they're like, you can't show that.
Yeah.
So anyway, how'd we get on The Exorcist? Oh, Mika looks older. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so Mika's back there working on the doll, and the doll's her little, what do you call that? Like a bonnet? Your little, whatever her little headdress.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a bonnet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of starts whirling around and her hair kind of goes all crazy like Medusa on the doll. And then it cuts to Ami's holding a strange looking kind of basket and Luna's inside.
Can I say real quick that Ami's outfit is so cute? Like,
I agree.
I want that skirt. I want that skirt so much.
Ray's looking nice too.
Yeah, there's a lot of cute outfits in this episode.
Yes, there are. True story. And so Luna peeks out, and says she doesn't see anything unusual. And then they notice Rei and Mamoru looking. They're perusing the dolls. They're looking at the dolls, and Rei is waxing ecstatic about this doll. And she's like, "Oh, do you not like dolls?" And he's like, "Well, I don't hate them." And Rei says,
"He's not enthused."
Yeah, Rei says, "Come on, let's get going." And he's, "Yay!" He gives the least enthusiastic yay ever. It's fantastic. And so he moves to catch up with her, and he bumps into Nephrite. And suddenly the background changes to blurry black and white streaks as they brush past each other in slow motion.
They have a psychic moment or something.
Yeah, something's happening. And Mamoru looks over his shoulder and with a serious voice, "May I help you?" And then the background snaps back to normal and Nephrite says, "Sorry, I thought you were someone else." Now, what do you think that's all about, Madeline?
You want to know? Okay, I will tell you exactly what my notes say and nothing more.
Okay.
Nephrite thought Mamoru was someone else. In all caps, Maddie wants to spoil. OMG, OMG. And that's all I'll say. Because there's so much, and there's so much there. But I won't say anything.
I only don't know a little bit. You know a whole lot more than I do.
Nevertheless,
for some reason,
there's so many layers.
For some reason, there's an exchange there, in which they because I don't think that Nephrite remembers. Mamoru was at the park with the butterflies, but he wasn't in the fight. So
yeah, no, he wasn't.
I don't think he remembers him from that. You know what I mean? So he must just think that he's someone else. That's fair enough.
I mean, you know, he has one of those faces. Mamoru does.
Oh, does he now?
I have so much I want to say on this, but I can't say anything. I want to say so much.
We'll have to say. But obviously it's significant enough for the creators of the show to change the background and make it like they have this psychic exchange with one another, you know. We'll have to see more. We'll have to see. More will be revealed, as we like to say.
All I will say is it's beautiful foreshadowing.
Yeah. All right. So then I have to say that then Shingo shows up with Usagi.
Yeah.
He's wearing a hat with his name on it. I love that. It's got his name on it, but it's in English. So it's so
no. I love it. That occurs so often in this show and in other anime too. It's just so beautiful, and I love it every single time. It happens a lot in Dragon Ball.
For all the Japanese kids who are watching this, the ones who are paying attention in their English classes, they know what it says. And then the other half of the Japanese kids just think it's just got some English word on it. And they have no idea what that word is. In America, we would just see, I mean, the vast majority of Americans would just see Japanese letters, or kanji is the correct term, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it depends.
Only a very small percentage of English-speaking children would know what the kanji meant.
Truth.
You included in that small percentage. But so he's wearing a hat with his name on it.
This is lovely.
You know what it made me think of? You ever seen Adventureland?
Yes,
the movie
I have.
Adventureland.
Yeah.
The one kid, he's kind of a friend, he's a side character. His name is Frigo. And he's wearing a t-shirt that says, "I'm Frigo, capiche?" that's what it made me think of. Wearing a hat with your name on it.
I mean, you know. It's a special kind. Sometimes you just got it.
That's a special kind of vanity. Yeah. So he's kind of reluctant, and Sailor Moon is being pretty insistent that he brings that sculpture to her. And he brings that sculpture to Mika.
She's like, Mika needs to see this. You did a great job. Come over here. What the fuck?
And then,
except for not,
and then
because Usagi would.
For some reason, they felt it was important to cut to just a quick cut of Rei noticing Usagi. Rei's like, oh, Usagi. Like, so Rei was just there to see the dolls. She wasn't there because Luna had instructed her to be there. She just happens to be there on her date with Mamoru. I think that's the purpose of that little cut, was to make
establish that all three girls are there, and they're all aware that they're all there.
Except for Usagi.
I don't know. He's not aware. She knows that Ami is there.
Because
they talked about it.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
Yeah. And so Mika finishes the last doll as Shingo and Usagi enter. And at that moment, Nephrite summons Zeoma.
Damn it, Nephrite.
How would you say that, the Yoma's name? Jumo, which again means not permanent, which I still can't. I don't understand how that makes any sense, but whatever. And let's talk about real quick about what Jumo looks like. Jumo doesn't look like a doll. Yeah. Jumo looks like a figurine that animators use to pose, to get human poses. It's
Jumo
got,
is a it's a ball joint doll.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's. Yeah, it's a ball joint doll. It's which is not, which is different than the kind of dolls that Mika makes.
Yes.
And she's got kind of a short hairdo, and and she basically,
which is weird because in my memory, she's got very long hair. So it was weird to see the short hair because I was like, her hair's longer in my head. What the hell?
Yeah, it's pretty short. You know who else has short hair? Is Mika's mom has pretty short hair.
True.
So Jumo zaps Mika with kind of a red zap, and at that point, it's assumed that she's taking Mika's energy. Mika has reached peak energy, and now Jumo is taking the energy. And once again, Luna has to remind Sailor Moon to transform. I love that. It should become pretty second nature. When the Yoma appears, go ahead and transform without Luna.
But not only that, right before Luna says transform, Shingo dives for Mika after her energy is taken, and he's like, "Mika, no!" And then Jumo pushes him over and kind of knocks him out. And then steps on his motherfucking sculpture.
Yep.
That was a
heartbreaker. Which by that point looked a little bit more like Sailor Moon than it,
yes,
it looked a little less
colors
like,
and
yeah, exactly. It didn't look quite as much like a pig. And so we get Moon Prism Power Makeup, and we get the standard transformation. And so I was going to ask you about this. So she introduces herself. I am the pretty guardian who fights for love and for justice. I am Sailor Moon. But she doesn't say, in the name of the moon, I'll punish you in this one. So she doesn't always say that. Yeah. She doesn't always add that.
No.
So I hope it's not gone forever because I like it. In the name of the moon, I'll punish you.
It's 1,000% not gone forever. So.
Okay. And then she says her thing about How dare you destroy the doll that that Shingo made for Mika, which is she's kind of tipping her hat because how does she have that inside information? How does Sailor Moon know that Shingo made the doll for Mika? You know what I mean? Usagi knows that.
Sailor Moon knows everything.
Okay, fair enough. And we'll get to this. We'll get to this thing about so because they're aware that Sailor Moon showed up. They know that, but we'll get to that at the end. And so Sailor Moon, is indignant about the Yoma having smashed the doll, and then a possessed doll with fangs. Now the doll has fangs. that, as if the dolls weren't creepy enough to begin with, which those kind of dolls are just creepy to me.
Truth.
Porcelain dolls. And mm-hmm. so I had no trouble believing that this thing was possessed and evil. And it comes flying through the air and attacks Sailor Moon. And they crash through a window of the museum and they end up outside.
Yep.
And Sailor Mercury has already transformed and she's right there to cast bubble spray.
Yes.
And then
my notes for the fight are I note that both Sailor Mars and Sailor Mercury are already transformed. I surmised it was probably due to Ray's psychic abilities.
Right.
And then I just have bullet points for each action in the fight.
Okay. So I noted that Sailor Mars approaches, and I wasn't quite clear on this, why she says, "I guess we're too soon." So maybe there was something in the animation that they had to cut for the sake of time or something, because we never see them transform. We don't know how they knew to transform, because it's all happened pretty suddenly. Nevertheless, they have transformed. I guess we're here too soon. And then more possessed dolls with fangs come flying at them. And Mars uses her little, she starts incanting her spells, and they actually show her saying the words. And then what do you call those little, they're like tickets. They're like, the spell written out in.
It's like a, oh gosh, I had this pulled up at one point. Hold on. Give me a second. I need both hands. I have to set down the microphone.
Okay, fair enough. So what Maddie is looking up right now, or having the intern look up, is when Sailor Mars, not only does she verbally cast these spells with an incantation, she also produces little cards. They're probably the size of a recipe card, I would say. And she places one on each one of the dolls to cast the evil spirits out of the dolls. And specifically, she says that she's casting the evil spirits out. That's what the spell is for. So she's cast spells in the past for other things, but in this case, it's to cast the evil spirits out of the dolls. What do you have? What did you find out?
The intern says the following. The pieces of paper are talismans in Shinto and Buddhism in Japan. And Ofuda, which is the name, is a talisman made out of various materials, such as paper, wood, cloth, or metal. And they are commonly found in both Shinto shrines and Buddhist temples, and are considered to be imbued. Are considered to be imbued with the power of the deities or Buddhist figures revered therein. And as we know, Rei is a Shinto priestess. And if you're curious in knowing what the actual words that she says are, she says Rin, Kyo, To, Sha, Gai, Jin, Retsu, Zai, Zen. And then she says, Akryo Tai San! Which is just like the casting of the spell. Okay. I'm not sure exactly what that part means.
Right. So then the dolls have been, they've had the evil spirits taken out of them. And we cut to Sailor Moon getting choked by the Yoma. The Yoma is choking her, and Mars casts Fire Soul and shoots little fireballs at the Yoma, which causes the Yoma to let go of Sailor Moon. And Sailor Moon's just like hot, 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 hot.
Yeah. Well, and, it causes the Yoma to kind of let go of Sailor Moon. Because we notice that the Yoma's hands are still there holding on to Sailor Moon.
Yeah, the hands have come off. They've come off of her, right? The hands are still choking Sailor Moon, but they've come off of her body, and the Yoma then takes her and starts shooting her forearms at Sailor Mars, and Mars
super sharp.
Those things are sharp as knives, which I don't know if they add that later, because it's like Well, this is like kind of a blunt attack with just forearms coming at you. That doesn't look that dangerous.
What? My thought is like, because like when they hit her hair, because they show her hair being trimmed by them, it's like, it looks like they're hollow, like it's a cylinder, like hollow in the middle.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like the edge of them is super sharp.
That could be.
But like a cookie cutter, maybe? I don't know. I'm just trying to justify.
I just think it's dialogue they added later to make it seem like the attacks were more threatening. But who knows? They could never do something like that. So then Ami uses her cool Cyber Girl visor, which is probably a remnant from when she was going to be a cyborg.
Oh heck yeah!
And she notices that she's getting an energy reading on the right leg,
very clearly the right foot. Like she says, right leg, but then it zooms in on the ankle.
Yeah, and she tells Sailor Moon to aim for the right foot or the right leg, But Sailor Moon can't manage to cast a Moon Terra action because she's still getting choked by the Yoma's hand.
But don't worry.
Why is that?
Bay is here.
Because somebody shows up. All of a sudden, a rose flies through.
Roses.
Flies through the screen and pierces the ground and who thanks Tuxedo Mask? Someone says thanks Tuxedo Mask. Is that Ami or is that Sailor Moon?
I believe it's Sailor Moon.
Okay. And
she's like,
and then Tuxedo Mask just says, "Finish her." And so the
like
rose,
the announcer in a Mortal Kombat game.
Exactly. So what the rose has done in this case. The rose shows up and caused the Yoma to lose concentration and therefore loosened her grip around Sailor Moon's neck. And Sailor Moon is now able to cast Moon Tierra action. And we're back to the old school where she spins around a couple of times and then stops. And then
the old wobbly girl
throws the Tierra, which, of course, it topples because it's an... She needs to work on this attack. That's all there is to it.
And she's got to watch the sports thing that's going on now.
but she has good aim in this case because it actually shows the Tierra hitting the right foot of the Indeed. Yoma, and then the Yoma turns into black dust and disappears.
As you do.
Yeah.
When you're hit by an MGA. Yeah.
And then Mika comes to and asks and exclaims, "What happened?" As they all do after they've been possessed, you know, after they've had to deal with these enchanted items. And Sailor Moon appears in the window in silhouette. And they're all so excited, you know, and they're excited. Wow, Sailor Moon actually came. Shingo says something to that effect. And so Sailor Moon says, "I took care of the monster. Now it's your turn to make up and be good friends again." And then she takes off. So.
Yeah. And then Shingo laments his broken gift and then apologizes for his actions. And
Mika says it's all right. Plus he did come to save her. So yeah. So he is now forgiven. And then it's a quick cut. It's obviously like the next day or a couple of days later, and she's made him a little Sailor Moon figurine, and he's like, "Oh wow, it's so cool!" And then Mika's like, "Oh, you like Sailor Moon more than me?" Typical.
Yeah, she gets offended by his fanboying.
Yeah, typical girl response. I love that.
Yeah,
and she goes like, "Oh come on, Mika, it's not like that." And then he turns to the camera and says, "What can I say? Women love me." So yeah, the episode ends with that. It ends quickly.
Yeah.
With "What can I say? Women love me." So
you gotta love Shingo.
Yeah, I like that this episode featured him prominently because he hasn't been.
Yeah.
We haven't seen a whole lot of him. So
yeah,
and Bay was back. Beryl was back.
Yes. juice. It was like all the things that we've been missing came back this episode, yeah. And they were just like, hey, we know you've been wanting Barrel. We know you've been wanting Bay. We know you've been wanting Juice and or Toast. All three.
Yeah, baby. Basically the only things we were deprived of were we didn't get to see Sailor Mars or Sailor Mercury transform, and we didn't get In the Name of the Moon, I'll Punish You. We do get that in the beginning of the episode when she says, when she introduces herself and she says that she's actually a superhero. We do get In the Name of the Moon, I'll Punish You at that time.
It's true.
But we didn't get it when she transformed in the middle of the fight. So I'll take it where I can get it. And then if you stick through and you're still watching after the credits have rolled, we find out that episode 19 is Usagi's Joy, a love letter from Tuxedo Mask.
And what?
In the teaser, she gets a love letter from Tuxedo Mask, but we hear that Mars and Mercury also got them. I guess we'll just have to see what this is all about.
Yeah.
Usagi's Joy, a love letter from Tuxedo Mask. But this was a pretty good episode. I enjoyed this episode. Yeah. I liked it.
Me too. I love the episodes where we get to see a little more of Usagi's family and a different side of her that we don't usually get to see.
Right. It's and also fun. She's, you know, to see how she cares about her little brother, even though they're siblings.
Oh yeah.
And they definitely have that sibling rivalry going on where they tease each other and they make fun of each other. But you know, Usagi is such a good person. You know that she brings her little brother a cool beverage when he's depressed. You know, and that says a lot about the person that she is.
Truth.
And that's
it. Let me tell you.
You want to talk about social media? Yeah.
Hell yeah, I do. So as per usual, you can always find us anywhere at MooneyCast. That's MOONIE Cast. and we have our main website, which is acrossthemooniverse.castos.com. And yeah, we'll be here every other Monday, or sometimes every other Monday, because sometimes Maddie forgets to take her ADHD meds. But you know what? We keep coming back, and we will keep coming back, because this is only episode, 18? No. Yes.
18? No, this is episode 17. 19, because the first 17. Episode is the first episode is the intro. We're one. Our episodes are plus one of the episode we're doing.
Yeah. No, but I'm talking about in the show. This is episode.
Oh yeah.
This is episode 18. Yes. Okay. Yeah. I forgot what my point was. This is episode 18 and there's 200 episodes. That's what my point was. We got time. We'll be here.
All right, everyone. All right. Have a good night.
Have a good night, everyone. Bye.